Welcome to the Better Boards podcast. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. To fulfill our mission, we would like to give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Chairpeople, CEOs, senior independent directors, non-executive directors, academicians, investors, and regulators. All the views expressed in our podcasts are the views of our podcast partners and not those of Better Boards. In each episode, you get insights from those who are at the front line. Every time you tune in, we'll help you to develop and reinvigorate your board know-how and practice with insights and practical advice. New episodes are available bi-weekly, starting now. In this episode, we talk with Andrew Alner about the role of the chairman in creating better boards. Andrew has significant board experience across a broad range of multinational companies and sectors. He's the non-executive chairman of the Go Ahead Group. The Go Ahead Group is a FTSE 250 organization in the UK. He's also the non-executive chairman of SIG PLC and Fox Marble Holdings PLC. Formerly, he was the non-executive chairman of Marshalls PLC and held various roles as a non-executive director. He's also a former partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and a fellow of the Institute of Chartered Accountants in England and Wales and a graduate of Oxford University. Thanks so much for agreeing to be a part of our podcast. Let's start to talk a little bit about your portfolio career. So a lot of people actually dream of having a portfolio career on boards. You managed to have a really fine portfolio of roles on a wide range of boards. What made you actually switch from being a partner of a big four firm to become chair and non-executive director?
Oh, that's quite a long story. I think, firstly, I was a partner when I was really quite young and decided that I didn't want to remain in the profession for the rest of my career. I was frustrated about being an advisor and I wanted to be a principal, so I made the decision, which I think was unusual at that time, to move from the profession out into industry. So I joined Guinness, which happened to be one of my clients. In those days, you were allowed to move to a client. And I've worked as finance director, as chief executive across a number of FTSE 250 and other companies. And my last role was at RHM, which we floated and then sold to Premier Foods. And after that, I decided that I would become a non-executive director. I enjoyed working in a number of different companies. I enjoyed the variety. I felt there was a lot that I could bring, from experience of one organisation to other organisations. And, I fairly quickly built up a non-executive portfolio. And, I was very lucky that two of those companies, I moved up from being, non-executive director to being chairman. So that's really how I became a chairman. So that's the story.
So a lot of people appear to struggle to get on board. What has helped you?
I became a non-executive director quite young, quite a time ago. I think it's much harder today, particularly I think for men. So much focus, quite rightly, on diversity. I think I had very relevant experience in that I had experience of a number of different sectors. I dealt with a number of pretty difficult and challenging situations. I think that's important for development of anyone's career, and I guess I was lucky. I started with a relatively small company, Mosbros, so I became a non-executive director there, and having done one, it then became easier to pick up others. I also had a an accounting and finance background, so generally I would become chairman of audit. Though interestingly, my first larger non-executive role, I was chairman of the Remuneration Committee. You know, I had that breadth of experience, I think, and that's probably one of the reasons why I was lucky to you know, get a number of appointments fairly quickly.
But members, what was the year when you had your first board role?
My first board role?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that probably goes back to about 1996.
And what, in your view, has changed over the years?
Oh, I think we're in a very different world today than we were then. And I think there's much greater focus on, certainly for PLCs, I think doing business, you know, the right way, thinking more broadly about the role of business, its part to play in society, looking after, you know, the full range of stakeholders, and really being very focused on long-term sustainability and long-term sustainable success. And I think, you know, coupled with that, obviously, as far as that sort of technical side of things is concerned, you know, I think there is a lot more in the sort of corporate governance rules. I mean, the financial reporting rules have changed pretty dramatically in that period. We've obviously had the whole sort of digital thing. So I think masses has changed. But I suppose, you know, for me, the most important thing is I think boards now, you know, rather than just sort of turning up to have lunch, they're actually a serious part of business. And I think boards are in a position where they can give enormous support to executives and hope the executives to be successful, whilst also, of course, holding them to account to make sure that they behave properly and do the right thing for shareholders.
Right. What do you enjoy of being a member of a board, and what do you enjoy of being actually a chair?
I much prefer being a chairman to a non-executive director, and the reason for that is that as a chairman you have a much greater ability to influence. You also have a much better understanding of the business and the issues that the business faces, so you spend a lot more time. You build, you know, pretty close relationships with generally the CEO and the CFO and other members of the senior executive team. And at the same time, you know, you're there to make sure that the board operates effectively and is providing the support and challenge that it needs to. So I think the chairman I would describe as a really proper job where you have considerable scope to influence and make a difference. I think as a non-executive director, the interest for me is, you know, you get involved in the interesting and challenging aspects of the business. I think you can, to some extent, make it what you will. And certainly non-executives that are prepared to get out and go and visit the operations and spend time on their own with management and so on, I think they can contribute a lot more, and they probably get a lot more out of the role.
Let's focus a bit on your special role, the special role of a chair. What role, in your view, do chairs play in creating better, i.e. more effective, forward-looking and agile boards?
I mean, the chairman has a number of things that they've got to do. I think, firstly, they have to, you know, make sure they have the right relationship with the chief executive. I start from a position where I think most chief executives are trying to do the right thing. They want to be successful, and they want to create value for shareholders, and they want to look after the interests of all stakeholders. So I start from a position of support, and have found that, you know, that actually has enabled me to have a much bigger impact than if one is, you know, too critical or too controlling. So I suppose that's the sort of first point for me. And I'd say the first thing a chairman has to do is to get the chief executive right. I think the second thing is getting the right people, you know, around the table. And I think that's about understanding, you know, the skills and experience you need to support the strategy that you're pursuing, but also making sure you've got the right behaviours. And on the behaviours front, you know, it's very important that people understand how to make their points, how to ask the questions. And I have been on boards where, you know, we've had disruptive members, and that's hugely counterproductive. So I think, you know, behaviours is an extremely important part of, you know, when I go out and I select a non-executive director. I think boards need to be very focused on strategy. And I think these days it's really important that companies are very clear about what they see as their purpose. That's not just about making money, that's about doing something worthwhile. That's really important in terms of making the people that work for that organisation. You know, that's why they come into work in the morning. They don't come into work because the shareholders might make an extra couple of p on the share price. They want to do something that's worthwhile. That's particularly true of the younger generation. So I think, you know, being clear about what purpose is. And then, of course, all the things that come with strategy. You know, what's the vision? What are the strategic pillars? What are the detailed strategies? How do you link that through to objectives and measures and timelines and responsibilities? And then, of course, around all of that, you've got the whole question of culture and how do you make sure you've got the right culture in an organisation, you know, where you've got proper transparency. You know, people are they're not bullied, they're prepared to say what they think, and you create that sort of environment. So I think getting the culture right is important. And to my mind, you know, the sort of key to creating value for all your stakeholders is making sure that you've got your strategy right, you've got the right people, and you've got the right culture.
Fantastic. What do you see in boards? What do you think, if you summarize this, what should boards do more of, and what should they do less of?
I think, you know, the way I see it is that I think boards should be more focused on strategy. I think strategy is something that, you know, one should be thinking about every meeting. There are, you know, generally when one puts together the strategy, many companies see this as a sort of, you know, you go away for your strategy day, you come up with a strategy and sort of that's it. I don't see it that way at all. I like to think in terms of a strategic agenda where there are key strategic issues that the business has to face, and then making sure you build time into your board meetings so that you can properly debate and discuss those issues. So I would expect, you know, some strategic topics to be on, you know, every board agenda. And at the same time, I would expect, in terms of, you know, monitoring performance, I'd want to see at each board, you know, progress against the strategic objectives. And I think that is more important than, you know, the other side of things, which is boards can get very much down into the sort of operational detail. I don't think that's a board's role. I mean, clearly you have to do something and you have to make sure that, you know, that management are not misleading you. But to my mind, boards should be more strategic focused and less operationally focused. I think the other point I would pick up is that is the whole one around culture. And again, culture covers a whole range of different things. And again, I would expect a board agenda at every meeting to have something that links through to culture. So when one's talking about succession planning, when one's talking about employee engagement, when you're talking about, you know, the values, the attitudes, the behaviours that you want in your organisation, all of that is sort of culture. So I think more on culture. And corporate governance, you know, a lot of people say to me, well, we spend all our time on corporate governance. I think you just need a really good company secretary who makes it easy for you. And clearly you need to spend some time, but, you know, you do not need to spend enormous amounts of time on governance. If you're set up properly, that will fall into place quite naturally.
Which of these things that you mentioned are to this date still challenging for you? Because you make it sound so easy with all your experience.
Strategy is always challenging, particularly in a world where you know, digital is you know, bringing disruptors. You know, so I think strategy is always going to be challenging, and I think culture is challenging because groups, you know, find it quite difficult to know how to drive culture change, and boards find it quite difficult to know how to talk about culture, particularly if you get onto things like diversity and inclusion. Then, you know, boards do struggle sometimes with understanding the language and really getting to grips with some of these topics.
So what do you think can board evaluations play in the process?
I think the great benefit you get from a board evaluation is where you've got board members who are prepared to say what they really think. You know, it's very important in my mind that they should be open and honest. You know, it's a great opportunity to raise any concerns. And of course, it should be part of normal sort of ongoing board sort of practices, you know, where the chairman can make sure, you know, these one-to-ones or whatever, that people are comfortable. But it's an opportunity for people to really think about it and say what they really think. I find that quite often a board evaluation will conclude that everything is working, you know, very well. And I sort of take the view that actually there's always room for improvement. I sort of like to structure a board effectiveness review in a way that's going to lead to a sort of a clear set of actions coming out that will improve the overall effectiveness of the board.
Thank you so much, Andrew. If you could summarize, you gave us great insights into what matters for chairs at the moment. If you could give our listeners maybe three key takeaways.
I suppose, you know, what would I say is three key takeaways? I mean, there's a lot I could cover. I think the first one is that I think it's very important that boards are in a position where they can really influence the executive team. And I think that influence comes about through making sure that you do as much as you can to understand the business and the issues, but also being supportive and encouraging in the way that people express their views. You know, people are trying to, you know, executive are trying to get things right, and I think the non-execs, you know, should support that and keep them on the straight and narrow in a very supportive way. Secondly, I think in any organisation it is absolutely critical to have got the sort of the whole purpose, vision, strategy bit thought through, and continue just to worry about it, continue to work it. Strategy evolves over time, but it's really important to be very clear about what your vision is, where you're going, and what the strategy is. And I suppose the third takeaway is all around culture, creating the right culture within an organisation to support the strategy, to my mind, is really critical. And actually, when I look at, you know, where things have gone wrong, very often that comes back down to culture. So I think the third takeaway would be really worry and think about and develop the appropriate culture for an organisation. And I suppose just as a final sort of add-on, of course, the board does set the tone from the top, so having the right culture in the boardroom is also really important.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Andrew, for giving us insights into the role of the chairman in creating better boards.
Pleasure. Thank you.
If you care about creating better boards, and if you are a chairperson, CEO, senior independent director, non-executive director, academician, investor or regulator, and would like to be considered for contributing to our podcast, please do get in touch and let us know. You can best reach us on info@better-boards.com. See you the next time.